music. Subject: International Rescue.
Now we're sitting on the biggest bomb man's ever made.
Alert the World Aquanaut Security Patrol.
Sam Logan and John Archie. Airborne. Over.
Interceptors. Immediate launch.
You're fired.
Captain Scarlet is now indestructible.
September 13th.
And I'm Catherine.
And welcome back to Operation Andathon, a Security Hazard podcast. How are you doing, Catherine?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It's Chloe's birthday.
It is Chloe's birthday. It's been a year since we got her. If you guys remember, Chloe is our darling puppy.
And she's also the star of the Thunderbird 5.
Life Live.
Yes.
So you guys know what we're doing. We're going through every episode of the every Gerry Anderson series, and basically we're going to watch it. This is Catherine is something of a novice to Gerry Anderson things, whereas I am
not.
I'm
an exaggeration.
Something of a fan. So this is just a fun little experiment to see, kind of how nostalgia or lack of nostalgia for things really affects your enjoyment of watching these shows. So, as you guys remember, there is a jar. It is full of different Gerry Anderson pilot episodes. And there are also lifelines. Thunderbirds 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. Each lifeline can give Catherine a few different options of what she can choose. You can go back and listen to the first podcast to hear those in full, but just quickly, Thunderbird 1 lets you swap one of the chosen three options for a different one. Thunderbird 2 lets you watch the second episode of a selected series instead of the first. Thunderbird 3 lets you swap all three options for different ones. Thunderbird 4 lets you select a fourth option from the jar, and Thunderbird 5 lets you call Chloe, our dog, and she can choose for us. So, feeling optimistic today? What do you think you might get?
Oh, well, I mean, we've had I want to say not a mixed bag, but very different so far. First week was New Captain Scarlet, and second week was The Day After Tomorrow, so I'm curious of what we're going to see next.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting. All right, here we go. Open up the jar. It's all mixed up. Okay, go ahead and choose three options blind, and we will see which one you want to watch.
Right. Okay, I believe I've got just...
Oh, drop one.
Nope, I've got
an
extra. Putting it back.
Okay, there
we go.
Gonna
end up with an extra.
Right.
Okay. So, option one. Stingray from 1964.
That's the pilot episode, which is also called Stingray.
Yes, I didn't bother to read that. Terrahawks, Expect the Unexpected, parts 1 and 2 from 1983. And last but not least, Torchy the Battery Boy, Pom Pom and the Toys from 1960.
What a mixture.
Yeah.
Okay, goodness me.
Those are all going to be amazing, I think.
Really? Remember, you have your lifelines if you want to use them.
But I'm so excited for Torchy the Battery Boy.
Really? Yes. You want to do this now? All right. We're doing Torchy the Battery Boy, Pom Pom and the Toys. Oh, dear. We'll see you on the other side.
Often heralded as one of the creepiest puppet shows ever produced for television, Torchy the Battery Boy was AP Film's second and final commission from the author Roberta Lee. Torchy, the boy doll powered by a battery, was created by his master, Mr. Bumbledrop, to relieve intense loneliness. Torchy proceeds to leave Mr. Bumbledrop almost immediately and journeys in a rocket to Topsy-Turvy Land to live with a number of other toys that have come to life. Although two series of Torchy were produced, only the first was directed by Gerry Anderson and was broadcast in 1960. Every episode of this vintage series is available for viewing and sees Torchy and his friends sing terrifying songs, drown in cheese, and live through other nightmare fuel scenarios. Jack and Catherine will now discuss episode 1.
So we've walked back over to the microphone in complete silence, having just watched the first episode of Torchy the Battery Boy. Lots to unpack there. Firstly, why did you choose Torchy the Battery Boy over Stingray or Terrorhorse?
I don't think I've ever watched the full first episode. And everyone makes fun of it so much, I had to see what was going on there.
Okay. Now, I'll be honest, I've maybe seen one other episode of it. I've not seen the full show, because... But, I mean, it's
wonderful.
Because it's just so far removed from anything that came later on. Obviously, it's similar to Twizzle, because it was written by Roberta Lee, and this was the... You know, this was the second ever puppet production that, well, sort of puppet production that, Jerry had done. How do you think it holds up? Like, what do you actually think of the quality of, like, the puppetry and the sets and all of that sort of thing?
I thought they were okay. It's quite simple. The sets are very simple. But, you know, what they do with the kites and everything kind of in the air, like, it's all done... relatively well, considering, yeah. Especially because it seemed, at least from the credits, like there was quite few people working on it, so yeah, it's not like they had
a whole team
of people to be helping out with a bunch of stuff. It was just kind of a couple people, so
Chloe's come in the room. We know it's your birthday, but we've got to talk about Torchy the Battery Boy. As soon as I mention that, she walks away, like, yeah, oh no, I don't want to be a part of that, okay.
I mean, it's certainly no Thunderbirds, but
I think everyone would agree with you on that one.
But,
yeah,
you know, it's not so bad, and the puppets are all, you know, they have their own personalities and characteristics.
they have characteristics. Is Torchy not the creepiest little dude ever?
If they got rid of the dark, like, ring around his eyes, he would look 10 times less creepy.
Yeah, yeah. No, for me, it's the voice. It's that weird, eccentric, posh child voice. Oh, and the singing. We have to talk about him randomly breaking into song.
Yes. Especially how he has to apparently sing to the... light to
well, he has to ask it a question, was how they put it.
And then
it.
The light has x-ray abilities through wood.
There's some... Bumble Drop, credit where credit's due, has some serious scientific ability. I mean, between 2 o'clock and 6 o'clock, he built a totally automated robot toy with x-ray vision, with its own personality. Then the next day...
He does a rocket.
He builds a space rocket that... just works, and it.
Well, we don't know, do we? Maybe it blew up. We don't know what happened after that. I need to.
Are
know.
You saying you want to watch? Well, you're the one buying the DVD box set, then. But yeah. Oh, what else is there to say about Torchy the Battery Boy? Do you think it teaches good lessons to children? At least from watching that episode, because those children were. Brats.
They are very much brats, and I think the idea is supposed to be that you, as a child watching it, want to be more like Torchy and helpful to your elders and that sort of thing. But I mean, considering
it's definitely a
theme. the whole point of their expedition into space is to get the toys back for the brat children so that they will come back to the old man's yard every day.
Let's unpack that a little bit. Why?
He's lonely.
He's lonely, even though they are awful, nasty children.
Yes. Spoiled brats.
Spoiled brats. And yet he wants them to play in his garden because he gets lonely. He gets so lonely after 15 minutes of not having any kids around. He has to make his own toy boy. He seems like a nice man.
Yes.
But there we are. What did you... Oh, Chloe's... Chloe, decide. Are you in or out? Are you taking responsibility for this or are you not? She's not. She's gone. Oh, dearie me.
But yeah.
Are you glad to have got it out of the way relatively early on in our little series?
I mean, I was curious, you know? What?
Is it as bad as you thought it was, as you thought it might be?
I mean, I already knew about the toy boy line. Or else I think if I didn't know about that, that would have been pretty entertaining to hear that for the first time.
Okay. Yeah.
But no, it wasn't too bad. You know, it's
the product of the time.
It's had a teeny tiny little budget, not many people working on it. It is what it is. I don't think it's like shameful.
Well, it was very popular and people remember it who grew up with it and things like that. Obviously, Roberta Lee is famous for a long line of making her own shows. Because basically, AP Films made the first series of Torchy and then a different company made the second series. AP Films did not want to make it anymore. They had just about enough money together to make a pilot for what became Four Feather Falls. And yes, they were done with Roberta Lee because basically she paid them not very much money to make it. And she made a lot of money off of it, and they didn't see any of it. So they didn't consider that to be a worthwhile deal to continue with, so they parted ways. And Roberta Lee went on to make all sorts of awful things, frankly. I mean, they're all of that style of, like, well, sort of copying things like Fireball XL5 and things that came later for Jerry, but still written in that very patronizing, very like talking down to the kids sort of way.
Yeah.
It's
a product of its time.
Yes,
as well.
But I just don't think I don't know if I could sit through a whole series of it at all. Oh. Yeah.
Especially with that voice.
That voice is just terrible. The one good voice in it is Kenneth Connor, who does the voice of Bumbledrop and a whole load of other characters. He also went on to do Four Feather Falls, and also he was famous for doing the Carry On films. What else is there to say about Torchy the Battery Boy? It's not. Yeah, the episodes are nice and short. That's nice, I suppose. So, I don't really know the answer to this necessarily, but what do you think happens in the rest of the series? Does Torchy go on a murderous rampage, or what?
I mean, considering the role he's supposed to play of being this very doting child on this old man, I assume they just... Probably the old man continues to be taken advantage of by bratty children, and Torchy continues to make his way in the world. But I'm really curious if every episode leaves it off that broadly.
Like a cliffhanger kind of thing.
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Oh my gosh, and the best thing ever is a poodle with straight hair. That was the best. I think that's a hilarious idea, and I don't know why that wasn't gone into more.
I'm sure there's a whole backstory for it.
I think it's a great idea. This poor poodle who's so, like, self-conscious because she has straight hair. So he has to curl.
But
it's
light enough, apparently, to be flown away by a kite.
Mm-hmm.
And that must have been a hell of a strong wind to blow them all the way to a star on the other side of the galaxy.
Yes, we sort of have to give up any sort of logic with that, don't we?
Yes, we do. Unfortunately,
even
we do.
Even vague logic.
Yes. Oh, goodness me. So having seen Torchy now, what do you think Twizzle's going to be like?
I think there's a cat in that one. There's a lot of animals in these, aren't there? I'm going to say probably really similar.
Really? Because I would say, from what I remember of seeing them, that Torchy, actually, when watching it today, it's actually come a long way. Obviously, we only have the first we only have the first episode of Twizzle, but yeah, in terms of like the quality of the sets, the quality of the puppets, it's all a lot better, actually. Like, people tend to lump those two together, myself included. But actually, Torchy is closer, I think it's fair to say, is closer to what Four Feather Falls looks like than Twizzle. I think that's fair to say, because this was the first time that the puppets' mouths actually move. And that wasn't done electronically in the way that the Super Mario Nation puppets were. This was done literally by yanking on a string. So the lip movement isn't in sync that well with the dialogue, but they still move. I think they were starting to experiment with electronic mouth movement, as it was known then, on Torchy puppets, but yeah, still very much in the early days. But they're not, like, I know that they're ugly puppets, some of them, but they're not badly made, necessarily.
Like, they're all distinguishable from each other, which I think I would imagine, like, you know, because I would imagine most of these puppets sort of start out from the same basic mold a lot. So
no, but, well, possibly in those days, but no, I mean, they often would... I really don't know that much about how the Torchy puppets were made. I know that the Twizzle ones were, like, paper mache, and, like, that was basically it, and everything was just painted on. There were no mechanisms or anything like that. The Torchy ones may have been, you know, cast in fiberglass and made in the same way that the Super Mario Nation ones ended up being made, but, yeah. So, overall, reasonably impressed with Torchy, then, or...
I mean, it's better than I think everyone gives it credit for when they talk about it.
Every story needs a villain. And I think it's easy to make Torchy the villain.
Yes, the piece
sometimes. Yeah, okay. Well, there's not really too much more we can say about Torchy. No. We're very sorry for how short this podcast will be. Maybe next time... We'll pick something a little more interesting.
Well, I have to get out of the way at some point,
okay,
didn't we?
Yes, well, we've still got Twizzle to come. So keep that in mind. Yeah, there's lots of interesting ones still to come, actually.
Yes, there's a lot. There's so, a lot done still to come. We've only done 3 of 22. We've got 19 more to go.
Alrighty. Well, dare I say it, what would you give Torchy the Battery Boy, Pom Pom and the Toys out of 10?
I'm going to go ahead and give it a 3.
3. Okay.
It's not so bad, but it's not amazing either.
Do you
either.
Think it could get worse from here, given the fact you haven't gone for 0 or 1? Do you think it could
or
get
2.
Worse? Or 2. Or indeed 2. But yeah.
I want to leave some room to grow in that direction, if need be. I mean, we do still have Twizzle to come, and... many things that never got past one episode or whatever.
Yeah,
so we've got quite a lot to go, as well as some stuff that I know I'm not such a fan of, so...
That would be brilliant if you turn around and say, yeah, Breakaway, not quite as good as Torchy the Battery Boy.
I don't think it'd be a very popular opinion.
It would not be a popular opinion.
I honestly don't know if I've ever seen the episode, so I'll try to go with it.
Oh, you must have done. Okay, well, we'll see. All that still to come and more. If you're vaguely interested in picking up Torchy the Battery Boy on DVD, you can. I don't know why you would, but you can.
And Jack hasn't.
I don't. I actually tell you a story. We were at Catherine and I were at an event that Jamie Anderson was at. Had a stall going for the Jerry Anderson store, and I was looking
sci-fi
at it.
Sci-Fi by the Sea.
It was Sci-Fi
That's
by the Sea
was.
A very long time ago.
Yes.
And we were looking at the DVDs, and I was thinking, oh, what should I get? What could I buy? And I was looking at the Torchy DVDs, and I was like, could get those. I don't have those. And Jamie said, Jack, you don't want Torchy the Battery Boy, for goodness sake. Like, Jamie Anderson himself refused to sell it to me. So take that as a review. So thank you very much for listening. We are on Facebook at Security Hazard or on Twitter at Security Hazard. Obviously, our blog is securityhazard.wordpress.com. And you can email in, if you want to sec.hazard.pod@gmail.com. So, any last words, Catherine?
I mean, hopefully it only goes up from here.
Hopefully it does. It's your fault. You're the one who picked it. You could have watched Stingray.
I had to pick it at some point.
Okay, all right. Well, we've got it done and out of the way. All right, well, thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Bye.